Thank you. Good morning. Thank you for the opportunity to be here today. I have with me Glenn Marshall, East District Supervisor for Sussex County EMS, and as you can see, the Sussex County EMS Honor Guard. Good morning, everyone. Sunday, September 11, 2001, marked the 10-year anniversary of the most devastating terror attacks ever carried out on American soil. On that fateful day, 19 Al-Qaeda terrorists hijacked four commercial passenger jet airliners. Two of the airliners were intentionally crashed into Twin Towers of the World Trade Center in New York City, killing everyone on board and thousands of others working in the buildings. Within 2 hours, both towers collapsed, destroying nearby buildings and damaging others, killing and injuring innocent civilians and public safety providers. A third airliner was intentionally crashed into the Pentagon building in Arlington, Virginia, just outside Washington, D.C. The passengers and flight crew attempted to retake control of the fourth plane and intentionally crashed it into a field in Shanksville, Pennsylvania. Its intended target is unclear, but we do know that it was headed towards Washington, D.C. Unfortunately, there were no survivors from the four flights. 2,996 persons lost their lives that day, including the 19 terrorist hijackers. As with any tragedy, I'm sure we all know exactly where we were and what we were doing when we heard about these attacks. Anxiety, speculation, and thoughts quickly turned to action as almost immediately we mobilized, along with the fire service, a strike team of fire and EMS personnel. Emergency responders from Sussex County headed to a staging area in northern New Jersey to assist our New York public safety brothers and sisters with caring for the injured survivors. I would add that other public safety agencies throughout the state also mobilized and deployed strike teams as well. Little did we know then their assistance would not be needed, as the survivors of the attacks were much, much fewer than anticipated. The positive side of that experience is that we were able to deploy personnel and equipment quickly in a time of extreme crisis. This speaks volumes of the level of equipment across the Sussex County and the state of Delaware for their public safety agencies, police, fire, and EMS. The public safety providers that responded and died that day deserve to be called true American heroes. A total of 411 emergency workers who responded to the scene died as they attempted to rescue people and fight fires. The New York City Fire Department lost 341 firefighters and two paramedics. The New York City Police Department lost 23 officers. The Port Authority of New York lost 37 officers, and 8 additional EMTs and paramedics from private EMS services lost their lives. Surely the emergency providers who responded to the tragedies at the Pentagon, Shanksville, Pennsylvania, and the World Trade Center are people we admire as heroes. If you look around your community, you will find people whose lives and actions set the example for all of us. The men and women of Delaware's public safety agencies are true heroes as well. Every day, police officers, first responders, firefighters, paramedics, and EMTs respond to calls for help throughout Sussex County and the state of Delaware. Firefighter EMT Michelle Smith from Delaware City was tragically killed by a drunk driver while trying to save the life of an injured motorcyclist. Sussex County paramedic Stephanie Calloway lost her life while comforting an elderly patient when the ambulance in which they were both riding swerved to avoid a deer and crashed into a tree, killing both her and her patient. And of course, there's Georgetown Police Officer Chad Spicer, who was killed while protecting his community. The police, fire, and EMS providers in your community put their lives on the line every day, every time duty calls. They are the people who keep your neighborhood safe, protect you when fire strikes, and take care of you when you're sick or hurt. They are our guardians, our helpers, and our lifesavers, and I can't think of a better role model than any of these true American heroes. I hope that a tragedy like the September 11 attacks never happen again, but if they do, you can count on the men and women of Delaware's public safety agencies, police, fire, EMS, to be there no matter the danger to themselves. Too often we get complacent. We take things for granted. Please, if you get a chance, give a pat on the back to a police officer, a firefighter, a paramedic, an EMT. They don't expect it, but they do appreciate it. And most of all, never forget what happened 10 years ago this past Sunday. One of the traditions of the fire service when people pass in the line of duty is the ringing of the bell.
Color guard, hold team, shoot!
Men and women of public safety emergency services are confronted with a most dangerous work environment than ever before. We are forced continually to change our strategies and tactics to accomplish our tasks, and we are faced with ever-increasing threats that have potentially dangerous and deadly consequences. Our methods may change, but our goals remain the same: to save lives, to protect property, which sometimes comes at a terrible cost. This is what we do. Excuse me. This is our chosen profession. This is the tradition of firefighters, first responders, police, EMTs, and paramedics that respond each and every time they are called. The fire service of today is ever-changing, but it is steeped in 200-year-old traditions. One such tradition is the sound of a bell. In the past, as firefighters began their tour of duty, it was the bell that signaled the beginning of the day's shift. Throughout the day and night, each alarm was sounded by a bell, which summoned these brave souls to fight fires and to place their lives in jeopardy for the good of their fellow citizens. When the fire was out and the alarm had come to an end, it was the bell that signaled to all the completion of that call. When a firefighter had died in the line of duty, paying the supreme sacrifice, it was the mournful toll of the bell that solemnly announced a comrade's passing. We utilize these traditions as symbols, which reflect honor and respect on those who gave selflessly, gave of themselves, and paid the ultimate sacrifice on that fateful day, 10 years ago, September 11, 2001. To symbolize the devotion that these brave souls had for their duty, a special signal of 3 rings, 5 times each, represents the ends of our comrades' duties, and they will be returning to quarters. And so, to those who selflessly gave their lives for the good of their fellow man and woman, their tasks completed, their duties well done, to our comrades, their last alarm, they are going home. We honor today those that gave their lives that day with the ringing of the bell.
Colors, present, home!
Thank you for the honor and privilege of being here today.
Thank you.
Thank you very much,
Thank
Bob.
You.
Could you move these flags back up here, please, Lee? Thank you very much. Next on the agenda will be approval of minutes. We had minutes in our package of 8:23. Am I got any questions or comments on those minutes?
I have a question. When you introduce an ordinance, is that supposed to be in the minutes or not?
Certainly. As part of the record, certainly.
I'm sorry.
The introduction of an ordinance. Is it in the August 23rd minutes? Okay, fine. It's in there. All right, fine. I was just didn't find it. All right. Gotcha. Okay.
Now, was your question, Mrs. Deaver, if you introduced ordinance, it's supposed to be in the minutes or in these particular minutes here? You're talking about your ordinance you introduced?
Mm-hmm.
I don't think it's in August 23rd, is it?
Beg pardon?
It's not August 23rd minutes, is it?
I think our last meeting was August 23rd.
August
23rd?
Yes.
Yeah.
Mm-hmm. I don't have mine with me.
Mm-hmm.
But. Okay. We'll look real quick, though. I don't think I read it in there, but I could have missed that.
I believe it is on page 6.
Okay.
Okay, I might have missed over that.
That's good. Thank you.
Yes, okay.
Okay.
Answer your question?
Got it. Thank you.
Any more questions or comments? Not understand. Approved as read?
Yes. Make a motion.
Correspondence. Mr.?
Yes, I have several letters here today, Mr. President. First, on behalf of the Rehoboth Beach Boys and Girls Club's Board of Directors, staff, and club members, we sincerely thank you for your support of the 2011-1 campaign. As a result of your generosity, our members are able to enjoy educational and character-building programs such as Ultimate Journey Science Program, gardening, and weekly field trips. With your help, we are able to provide these deserving children with a safe and positive place to learn and grow together. Sincerely, Anne Michelle Coons, Resource Development Chair and Board Member, and Maria Edgerton, Unit Director. Next is a letter from Michael Eisenhower, Executive Director of Delaware Shore Field Hockey, Inc. And this is to Joan Deaver and members of the council. Thank you so much for your generous support with the grant of $750 toward travel expenses for our two teams that will be playing in the Disney Showcase Tournament in February 2012. We will have over 30 girls from the local area playing on our two teams, and we are eager to represent our county to the best of our ability. Sincerely, Ike. Next is a letter from the Delaware Lady Blue Hens Fast Pitch Softball. And dear honorable council members, the Delaware Ladies Blue Hens 12 and under Fast Pitch Softball organization wishes to express our sincere thanks for your recent grant to our organization. This will help to offset the cost of uniforms, insurance, and tournament fees for the upcoming 2011-2012 season. Respectfully, Shane Abbott, manager. Next is a letter from the Lewis Public Library, and it's addressed to the Honorable Joan Deaver. Thank you so much for your Sussex County Council grant to the Lewis Public Library for the 4th Annual Lewis Creative Artists Conference. This year's conference was our most successful ever. The feedback was overwhelmingly positive, and I've included below some comments from our evaluation forms. First comment, the conference was excellent, and to have it presented at no cost was an incredible blessing. I had to pass up on a writer's conference in Philadelphia last week because I didn't have the funds to attend, and I was so bummed. Then I heard about this and got all I wanted and more, networking with the locals. Thank you so much. Next comment. Superb gathering of presenters who are knowledgeable and highly experienced and talented to deliver what we seek. Best year so far. Next, the conference was well planned and interesting. I look forward to the next one. Next, so wonderful that you provide this opportunity for people interested in fostering their own and others' creativity. Next, very grateful this was offered. I look forward to having an opportunity to attend more workshops like this. Thank you. And last comment, it gets better every year. Thank you for the great effort that you expend to make this such a wonderful event. On behalf of the Lewis Public Library, I thank you and Sussex County Council for the support you continue to show our libraries in the county. With current difficult economic conditions, libraries become more and more important to our citizens for resources and services. Sincerely, Becky Healy, President, Board of Commissioners, Lewis Public Library. Then we have a letter to Sussex County Council. This is a letter of appreciation for work which was done on my house. I thank you for this program and believe it should be kept to help others. The men did a great job with all they did. Work hard, keep things clean. Please keep this program going to help others. Thank you, Charlie Harmon. And this is for a project that was done in the Frankfort area. And then the last letter is from El Centro Culture. Dear Councilman Joan Deaver, we are glad to inform you that El Centro Cultural received your check for $100 to support Festival Hispano on Sunday, August 21, 2011, from 12 noon to 6 p.m. at the Millsboro Little League Complex. We would like to thank you and your colleagues on the Sussex County Council for this very generous contribution, which will allow El Centro Cultural to better organize and coordinate this wonderful community event in Sussex County, free for the whole family. If you need additional information, please send us an email, and it gives the email address, or you can call on our cell phone. You can also find more information on our website. El Centro Cultural would like to thank you for your participation, and we hope you will encourage others to attend the 17th anniversary of Festival Hispano in Sussex County. Thanks to your support, along with hundreds of individuals, public organizations, and businesses throughout the region, we are able to celebrate this community event honored by the Library of Congress as a Delaware local legacy. Sincerely, Allison Burris Castellanos, Treasurer of El Centro Cultural. That's all.
Thank you, Mr. Rudd. Anyone counsel anything?
Just real quickly, I have a letter of concern from David and Leslie Borgone, B-U-R-G-O-I-N-E. They have a property in the woods on Herring Creek. They are concerned because the property has no home on it, and yet they're having to pay a sewer bill for it. So I'd like to get that letter put into the record.
Certainly. Anything else for counsel? Okay. Mr. Baker, County Administrator.
Okay. The first item is Employee of the Quarter, and we're privileged to have with us today Ms. Sherry Collins, if she could come up. Who has elected Employee of the Quarter by the county employees. And this is a program administered by the Personnel Department. Sherry was hired 10 years ago as a Clerk II data entry for Recorder of Deeds as of May 1st, 2001. She was promoted to a Clerk III technician in 2003. She transferred to Planning and Zoning in 2005, and she was transferred to the EMS Department on November 3rd, 2008, where she maintains her title of Clerk III Technician. She also volunteers and serves as president of the Employees Benefit Committee, which is a very active group, and I know the employees all appreciate that. And with that, I have a tribute. Be it hereby known to all that the Sussex County Council commends Sherry Collins, Sussex County Employee of the Quarter, third quarter 2011, and the Sussex County Council extends its thanks and congratulations and directs this tribute to be presented to Sherry Collins on the 13th day of September 2011.
Yeah.
Sherry, congratulations.
Thank you.
Thank you very much for that.
Thanks. It's going to go on Twitter.
Yeah, out of their way. We're holding up. Okay?
Yeah. Well deserved.
Thank you
very much. And here's your, I thought they would have a picture of the council here or something.
Oh, no. Yeah. Clock.
Thank you very much.
Yeah, we will.
Thank you very much.
For a picture of Dave, a going away president.
Yeah.
Autograph pictures.
The next item is a proclamation proclaiming Monday, September 26th as Family Day, a day to eat dinner with your children. And I'll read through it quickly. Whereas the use of illegal and prescription drugs and the abuse of alcohol and nicotine constitute the greatest threats to the well-being of America's children, and whereas 16 years of surveys conducted by the National Center on Addiction and Substance Abuse have consistently found that more often children and teenagers eat dinner with their families, the less likely they are to smoke, drink, and use illegal drugs. Whereas frequent family dining is associated with lower rates of teen smoking, drinking, illegal drug use, and prescription drug use. Whereas the correlation between frequent family dinners and reduced risk for teen substance abuse is well documented. Whereas parents who are engaged in their children's lives through such activities as frequent family dinners are less likely to have children who abuse substances. And whereas family dinners have long constituted a substantial pillar of family life in America. Now, therefore, be it resolved that the Sussex County Council hereby proclaims Monday, September 26th as Family Day, a day to eat dinner with your children, and urges all citizens to recognize and participate in this observance.
Thank you, sir.
Mm-hmm. The next item is the Delaware Department of Transportation 2012-18 Transportation Program Request. And what we've done, Mr. Guy has revised this report based on comments from the last county council meeting. Several changes were made as requested, and based on input we've received from the public. First, if you go to page 4, east-west corridors, I'll just go over the changes. East-west corridors, SR 24 improvements. Suggestion was made that we should consider, or we should recommend widening it to 4 lanes from not only from Love Creek to Route 1, but from Long Neck Road to Route 1. So we have made it a language change there, where with consideration towards extending lanes to Long Neck Road. The next item is on page 10, North-South Highway improvements. We added language there to note the high priority to move the project from concept to reality, the 113 project. There were concerns expressed about the amount of time and money spent on planning versus actually making improvements to roads. On page 11, Route 1 improvements, Five Points intersection, there were concerns expressed regarding problems and safety issues at that difficult intersection. And we do have that in. Improvements are needed at the Five Points intersection to reduce accidents, et cetera. And then on page 11, Route 1 improvements, commercial properties interconnectivity. We recommended connecting entrances, et cetera, between adjoining commercial properties as a priority along Route 1. We also added that that should be considered as a priority along Route 13 and Route 113. And then on page 17, intersection signage and signalization. I think Mr. Cole recommended that we recommend additional signage along Route 5 and Route 30 from Milford to Long Neck, which serves as a local bypass route, especially for people going or coming from the north going to Long Neck area. I just will mention that page 2 of this report is a listing of the priorities. And as you can see, number 1's east-west improvements with evacuation routes, followed by the airport, Park Avenue US 9 truck route related to the airport, bicycling, walking trails, north-south highway improvements, Route 1 improvements, flooding issues, local roads, intersections and signalizations, and finally alternative transportation. And if you concur, this will be presented to DLDOT and at a public hearing that DLDOT will hold on September 15th in Georgetown at their offices, which I believe starts at 4 o'clock. And also we will send it to the Secretary of Transportation like we do each year if you concur.
Any more comments from council?
I think did a good job.
I think
job.
Everything that
Very
we addressed happy. Last meeting, Dave and Chip have addressed in here with a revised thing. So,
mm-hmm. I have one little comment as I was reading this through. It says also encourage the state to improve the signage along 30 and 5. If we crowd these roads up, us local people knows how to get around some of this congestion. So, we're going to make it so none of us can hardly move. I can live with enough to live up the city people use these main highways, but to run them over on our roads that are started, the local people knows. The local people already knows this, so we don't need to crowd our back roads with these people. I don't think it's a good idea, personally, but that's okay. My opinion.
Any more comment from council?
It's hard to follow up after that one.
I just hope that people do go to that event because it's important. It's only once a year.
Sure.
The signage on these bus stops where they have the on that transportation alternatives, that's another little pet peeve of mine. When you come down Coastal Highway, a lot of times you see these signs about this big out in the middle of nowhere as a bus stop, and there's just they're clueless. Whether the tourist or local people, whoever uses this alternative transportation, it is probably whoever is in charge of that. There's a lot of improvement that can be done to put some people in those buses because they're just out in the middle of nowhere. It's just ridiculous. So I think somebody needs to emphasize that.
Okay.
Okay. Anything else?
Mr. Lawson and Mr. Guy will be attending the workshop or okay. The public hearing and we'll...
They'll present this. Okay,
present
that's fine.
This, yes.
Okay. Thank you very much for your work.
Yes. Thank you. And then the next item is the county administrator's report. First, the Sussex County Local Emergency Planning Committee meeting will on September 15th. That committee will meet September 15th at 10 a.m. at the Emergency Operations Center. We have attached a copy of the agenda for the meeting. Advisory Committee on Aging and Adults with Physical Disabilities, they will meet September 19th at 9 a.m. at the county's West Complex. Again, we have a copy of the agenda attached. Sussex County EMS Paid Service of the Year. Attached is a copy of an article from the September 2011 EMS World Magazine. The article notes a presentation of the EMS Paid Service of the Year National Award to the Sussex County EMS Service. We again wish to thank and congratulate our paramedics for the outstanding work that they do. Road closure, Seaford area. Due to the extensive rain and drainage issues in the Seaford area, five roads will be closed for an extended period of time. They are as follows: Woodland Church Road, west of Woodland Ferry, near the Maryland state line; Ellis Mill Road, near the Maryland state line; Woodland Road, east of Woodland Ferry; Craig's Mill Road and Stein Highway at Chapel Branch Road. We wish to thank the various volunteer fire companies, and there were numerous companies that responded to the flooding event last Thursday in the Seaford area that particularly affected there. The county's mobile command unit was also in place to assist with the emergency response. Delaware Transit Corporation public hearing workshop. As per the attached, the Delaware Transit Corporation will be holding public workshops regarding fixed route bus service on September 19th, 20th, and 21st. The September 20 workshop will be held at Del Tech in Georgetown from 3 to 4:30 p.m. One change is being recommended by Delaware Transit Corporation to no longer serve the Coverdale area, as noted on the attached press release. And then finally, adequate public facilities ordinance hearings. As per the advice of legal counsel, public hearings for the adequate public facilities ordinance are recommended to be rescheduled for the Planning and Zoning Commission as well as the County Council. This proposed ordinance would heavily involve the Planning and Zoning Commission. Because of the Commission's involvement, it is recommended that they consider this ordinance and provide input to the County Council. Thus, the public hearing, which was originally scheduled for next Tuesday by the County Council, would be rescheduled at a later date as normally scheduled after the Planning and Zoning Commission public hearing. So,
okay.
A question on that, if it's appropriate, Mr. President.
Yes, ma'am.
About the adequate public facilities ordinance hearing, there was no workshop scheduled, and I understand from the attorney, let me just ask the attorney, you can't do that after you've introduced an ordinance. You can't have a public workshop. Is that correct?
That's correct.
Okay.
You would need to go to public hearing.
Okay. Is that something that I can find in the law? That's, in other words, that information about council people should not discuss a pending ordinance in public, is that in our law somewhere that I could find it?
It's, to my recollection, it's in Title IX.
Mm-hmm. Okay.
County.
All right.
And probably in, where the Freedom of Information Act is located.
And under Freedom.
And I can get you that.
I'd like to see it. I have some questions about it from some constituents.
And it hadn't been just Dave, basically over the years, a recommendation from our legal staff, whether, you know, not just you guys, but before that. There's so many things that can get you in trouble. It's best to stay away from these certain activities up to a certain point. At a certain point, then it's okay. And it's just, I think it's been a recommendation. A lot of, there could be some in Title IX, I don't know. But mm-hmm. But I'm just saying, I think also what my take on the whole subject was is, you know, careful up until this point. At this point, basically after the public hearing, you know, everybody's had their day in court, basically. And, you know, it's a different rules of the gamers type of thing.
You could also be violating FOIA, you know, Freedom of Information, if three of you sat around and started talking mm-hmm. about it.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah, but we're just attending, say, a group, a disgruntled group, or a group that's for an application, and before the public hearing, if we participate, that could jeopardize our ability. So anyway, that's been my kind of take on it. Not so much that it's maybe in the law somewhere. It's just it's good practice not to participate up until a certain point,
right.
Well, or make certain comments pro mm-hmm. or con about something before you've heard anything, because mm-hmm. you could jeopardize.
Yeah, right. I suppose. Mm-hmm.
So that's
prejudice, prejudging.
Right. That's right. What I'm saying. So there's a little bit of that I think is involved in this whole issue. So I mean, I may be wrong, but I'm sure there's something in the law. But.
So that's why we wouldn't be able to have the workshop. And so then no council person should go to a public meeting and say, I'm going to vote against that ordinance before it's been heard. Is that correct?
You need to listen to both sides.
Right, correct.
Be
I understand.
Objective.
Correct.
Thank you.
Anything else? Okay. Next, Mr. Todd Lawson, Hurricane Irene report.
Thank you. Good morning. I know we've got a packed agenda today, so I'll try to make this brief. I wanted to give you an update on the county's response to Hurricane Irene. As you recall, nearly 3 weeks ago, the county was preparing for Hurricane Irene, a Category 3 hurricane, taking direct aim at this region. Luckily, it veered to the east when it made landfall in North Carolina and was reduced to a Category 1 storm as it passed Delaware Saturday night into Sunday morning, August 27th and 28th. Looking back on the storm, I think many people would agree that we dodged the big one. Luckily, however, we still had severe flooding, coastal erosion, some property damage, and a confirmed F1 tornado in the Lewis area. However, no lives were lost. As Irene approached the East Coast, the county staff moved into action to prepare for the first major storm of the season. The county's response was managed by Joe Thomas and his staff at the Emergency Operations Center, otherwise known as the EOC. Several other departments were called upon to protect the county's facilities and our citizens. There's too many individuals to list, and I'd hate to leave someone out, so I'm just going to name the departments who helped in this effort. Most of them volunteered their services. They include the airport and industrial park, the assessment office, the building code, clerk of the peace, constables, the Office of Engineering and Utility Construction, finance administration, facilities administration, IT department, mapping and addressing, the paramedics, planning and zoning, and safety and security. There was a numerous amount of work and time that went into preparing for this event, and it would not have happened unless our staff rose to the occasion. Efforts such as manning the call center, preparing our wastewater facilities, and responding to medical emergencies illustrates our staff's commitment, and they should be commended. During the storm, the citizens of Sussex County looked for us for assistance and information. Thanks to our public information officer, Chip Guy, we were able to reach a record number of individuals through the internet and social media. During Irene, the county broke all records in distributing information through our website. Mm-hmm. Let me share with you some facts and figures. During the height of the storm, 26,000 individuals accessed our storm page. The county's evacuation map, which was designed by our mapping and planning office, which illustrated the evacuation area of a flood-prone area. Hopefully our citizens heeded that and got out. That map was downloaded over 8,000 times. Throughout the storm, CHIPS releases were accessed, downloaded by tens of thousands of people, news outlets, and media. Just to give you some perspective, before the storm, the most downloaded document in the history of our website was the top 100 delinquent taxpayers.
Oh, and, my.
And that was only downloaded 1,600 times. So with the help of his social media outlets, Chip kept the public informed and news media alerted to the events as they happened in real time. Literally, Chip would send it to the News Journal, the Weather Channel, WGMD, and within minutes it was scrolling on the TV screens. This proved to be an essential asset to the county's response. Finally, there's one other story I must mention that goes above and beyond the call of duty. On Friday evening, as the storm was bearing down on the county, at the EOC, we were alerted that we may run out of food at our shelters. There would not be enough food to last through Friday night into Saturday. So a team was assembled to go out and purchase food at the local Georgetown Walmart, the only store that was still open, to distribute to our three shelters in Milford, Dagsboro, and Longneck. That team consisted of Dave Baker, his wife Sandy, and President Vincent's wife Elaine.
Well, those two know how to shop.
That's true.
You better believe it. I don't know why Dave was there, but those other two, they know how to shop.
Carry stuff.
Yeah, that's it.
On Friday evening, they ventured out into the driving rain and tropical storm winds to purchase the food. They were met by a team of county workers led by Keith Bryan, who, along with his team and their trucks, drove the food to the respective shelters so folks could have food on Saturday morning. These people deserve a lot of credit and stepped up to literally deliver during our time of need. Through efforts such as these, and with our state partners including DEMA, DelDOT, the Red Cross, Delaware Co-op, Delmarva Power, the National Guard, and the Delaware State Police, we were prepared and able to survive Hurricane Irene. I'd like to turn it over to Joe Thomas now, who can ask any other specific question involving the county's response, as well as our subsequent efforts that we've taken to prepare for the next storm.
Thank you, sir. Good morning. Just to give you an indication, I've worked for this emergency services now for 25 years. We sheltered just shy of 1,500 people across our four shelters. Since I've been with the EOC, we've never done those kind of numbers. So obviously the warnings and the recommendations we were putting out were being listened to. And as Mr. Lawson said, the county stepped up to the occasion when we had some issues with the shelters with food. So that was important. Just to give you an idea of where we're at now, there are applicants briefings being scheduled by FEMA in all three counties, probably within the next week to 10 days. We have submitted through our office all the towns, as well as all the fire department's expenses, public safety agencies, transportation, so that we can go to the federal government for reimbursement for the damages and expenses that were incurred during the storm. Unfortunately, it looks like at this time there will not be enough damage-related private properties to get individual assistance. Simply, there's just not enough numbers. As Mr. Lawson said, had this came in like it was forecasted, unfortunately, we probably would have had plenty of damage. But as it turned out, we were thankful, and it didn't happen. And with that, I'll try to answer any questions you might have.
Question of council?
I just want to say thank you for your service. And I don't know if people realize that these administrators go to these situations and spend a lot of hours on site. And I just appreciate that very much and appreciate you going out to Seaford. Thank you very much.
Cole?
Yeah, you said 1,500 were in the shelters. How many shelters do we have? Do we have open?
We opened three on the original onset, and I requested a fourth because one of the shelters actually was, by our numbers, full. Mm-hmm. And plus, we also wanted to open a shelter more towards the west side of the county because people in mobile homes were concerned about the wind that was forecasted. So we ended up having four shelters with roughly 1,500 people in them.
1,500, actually, we were lucky because we skirted kind of disaster in this thing. If we did have a disaster, how many people could we accommodate? Because 1,500 is just a small fraction of the people that live here, and a lot of people don't have, at the last minute, places to go, and motels would fill up immediately. So
the Red Cross was prepared to open many more shelters.
We do have them designated. Mm-hmm.
They would have opened them up after the storm. This was the original pre-storm, and then once the post-storm, we got in the post-storm, the Red Cross would have brought in additional resources to open additional shelters to meet the need, whatever we needed to do.
So we do have a list of,
yes.
There is a list out there that we can open them up as we need them. Okay.
The Red Cross provides us with a list of facilities that they have approved as shelters. I make the decisions on which shelters we're going to open at first. And then we can go to that list and just keep picking and choosing where we need to go.
Okay. Because I know a lot of people, when they had this mandatory evacuation, they didn't evacuate.
Yes.
You can imagine if they did evacuate, where would we put all these people?
Exactly.
Anything else, Mr. Wilson?
Could not Indian River hold more than 2,000?
Is the Red Cross has a space requirement, if you will. There's a certain amount of square footage per person that they will allot during a shelter.
I was thinking I'd been on the board or something about, was it 2,300 something? They had a large number. So we had a lot of room yet.
Anything else from council? I do want to thank everybody involved. Joe, you and your staff did a great job.
Thank you, sir.
A lot of hard work. As much as I pick on Mr. Guy, I do think that that information being sent out there was a good thing. I had one concern that all this tweeting and twitting he's doing, he's going to get carpal tunnel or something. That I'm going to be a work injury, I guess, coming up next. And besides, I do think it's very important to note that besides how hard the people worked that went to Walmart to get all that food, that not only was Mrs. Baker very involved and very wet doing that, the bill was on her credit card, which I thought was very nice, because apparently Mrs. Webb canceled Mr. Baker's credit card somehow.
And a lot of Twinkies.
Benson, I believe one thing you need to – during the blizzard of 2010 and as well as Hurricane Irene, Mrs. Baker has been our personal chef and cook.
Yes, she has.
She has decided what we eat, when we eat, and how we eat it. And I think you made a stipulation to Mr. Baker during a storm.
Yes, I did. The only stipulation was that anytime we have a storm and Mrs. Baker doesn't show up, his pension check will stop. So I think she'll be there to do that.
And she's been a big help, too, as well.
Yes, she
as
is. Does a great job. And I would say that one thing that we always are concerned, at least I'm concerned sometimes with public safety about, we have a new administrator in training here that being up to speed on what's going on. I would say that since Todd's been here, he's had more exposure probably in the last 30 days than most people had in 20 years.
But does your wife realize her obligation now that you've got this job? We didn't tell you that. We didn't tell you that before.
She's on notice, yes.
She's on notice, and in fact, she's going to take cooking classes.
We'd love to see some recipes, right, Sam?
Are you trying to say his wife can't cook?
No, I'd not say that.
Better safe than sorry.
I'm a little concerned, you know, when Todd got here, we had an earthquake. We've had a hurricane, a tornado, a flood this past Thursday. I'm just fearful the famine's going to fall.
Locust.
Something's going to happen, I'm not sure, but anyway. You all did a great job, a very good job. The county's very proud of what you do. Thank you very much.
Thank you.
Mm-hmm. I'd certainly want to add that the leadership of our council president's appreciated. I know when I went out there Friday night and Sam was out there, Mr. Vincent had been there for many, many hours, and he had no intentions of leaving, I understand. And
I stayed on the floor, yeah.
It's very encouraging to have a president of this council that takes such a personal interest in the staff and in the citizens of Sussex County. So thank you, Mr. Vincent.
Mm-hmm. Thank you, sir.
And you're getting that overtime, too, right?
Yeah, no overtime pay, yeah.
Overtime pay, right? You're a true volunteer.
They said I'm getting 2 cents an hour, he said. Next, Mrs. Brewington.